By God's help, we're going to share some thoughts on Jesus made a difference. And we need him to help us. So would you join us as we ask for the blessings? Our Father, oh, we thank you for every time you've helped us. And now, Lord, we ask for your blessing today. Right at this hour, Lord, would you bless our gathering together here and the Word of God. May it be a blessing to every soul, and may it be of eternal good and value. And we ask you, Lord, that you would just be with us in a special way today, and your blessings would be upon both of the services here. And we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. There have been people who lived their lives that have made a difference in other people's lives. I heard that there was a man named Carrier that invented air conditioning. And I am so thankful. I may have not lived as long as I've lived if air conditioning hadn't been invented. I don't know who invented Brother Doug's type of heat and air conditioning, but that has made a big difference in my lifetime, the invention of air conditioning. And also, before electricity, people used lamps. They had to buy this oil and put in the lamp, and it had to be taken care of. The fixture had to have cleaning and trimming. But we don't have to have lamps now. You can flip, turn a knob or do something with a switch to put it on, and there you've got electricity. So that invention has changed many lives. And also, they used to use wagons to go from place to place, and they even used horses or ponies to deliver mail in different parts where it had to be traveled. They didn't have priority mail. And so that has changed people's lives. Last Sunday, a U.S. mail truck come up in front of, close to my apartment front, and I hadn't ordered anything, but it was this priority mail that was on Sunday through the U.S. Postal. And it was, to me, with from Sister Gertrude Lowndes with banana nut bread in it. And so they didn't have such things, and the inventions of the wheel and vehicles have changed many lives. And also, if you were to look in my kitchen cabinet, you would see a jar that says on it 5 pounds, and it's peanut butter. And George Washington Carver gets credit for the invention of peanut butter, along with a number of other inventions, which he received information after he asked God about the peanut. That there is others that of the things that's been invented through the peanut. And so you wouldn't find exactly 5 pounds of peanut butter in this jar, because I've been into it. And there's various ways that you can use peanut butter in cookies and You can even have peanut butter pie and so on. So those things have made changes and differences in people's lives. But I'm going to talk today, by the help of the Lord, of a man that was given a mission to come into the world to make a difference in the human race's lives. There have been kings and queens that have made differences in people's lives. Queen Esther, as she had the duty of appearing before the king, because her nation or Jewish people were going to be exterminated, and through her intercession, the people were saved. Their lives were spared. Kings have made great differences in people's lives. Good kings and bad kings have made differences. But this one, Jesus, made greater differences in people's lives than the others. And his mission was to come to save and heal. Save the soul, heal the body. And we have a recording of this in Mark, the second chapter. And we'll start at the first verse. This is really a miraculous thing. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch as there was not room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Now he is in a house, and perhaps there are people there to see and hear him out of curiosity, and some were there, and whether they come to make find fault, they did come against him. Anyway, they were so crowded in this room, and the doorway was just probably blocked with people, and as he preached the word of God unto them, and they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now this man had this awful dreaded palsy, and he was on this mat, and there were four people that were maybe one on each end of this mat, and they were carrying him, and a full-grown man, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. It was so crowded, they couldn't squeeze this individual in. They may could not have got in even themselves, but they weren't going to give up. So they went up on the roof of this house, and when they had broken it up, they just took it apart and let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, oh, how wonderful Jesus can see faith. He's seen the widow put in the mites. Oh, he knows what's in our hearts. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sin be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes, these were the fault finders, sitting there and reasoning in their heart. They didn't That didn't sit good with them when he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." And why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God only? And as they were upset at what Jesus said, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit they had so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart?" Wouldn't that be something? If you was in the presence of a minister preaching, and all of a sudden he knew what you were thinking, and he would speak to you, "Why reason these things?" And they might have been surprised that he knew all that they were thinking. "These things in your heart, whether it were, is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise, take up thy bed and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin," he said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. So insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." These people were highly impressed at the miracle that they seen right before them. I pause here and tell about a miracle that Brother Charles Taylor, some of you may remember him perhaps, or heard of him. He's an uncle to Sister Kim Johnson, Brother Daryl Johnson's wife, and unto Brother Daryl. And so when he was born, instead of his legs bending at the knee backward, he was born that his knees went the other direction. You may not have known that about him, but his sister was holding him, and one of those legs turned the correct way. And then later the other one turned, and that brother could run and walk. Wouldn't that be something to see a miracle? A man, and he was just a small child, I don't know what his age was, but to see this man come down through the roof of the house with individuals holding on to him, or however they did it. And anyway, him so dysfunctional. But then after Jesus had forgiven him of his sin, he told him to get up and walk. Take up your bed and walk. And to see that man get up off of that, whatever it was, and start walking. What a miracle to witness. And some people was very impressed. And they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." And he went forth again by the sea, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. So Jesus made a difference in this man, he was no more confined to this bed. He was able to, and he probably had to just rely on, maybe they didn't have Social Security, disability, or whatever in those days, whatever he could have given to him. I don't know how he survived up until this point, but he was able to get up and go get a job and make his way in life. So Jesus made a difference in this man. He also made a difference in the man that was at that pool where the angel would come and trouble the water. And the first person that would get into the water would be healed. And as he lay there year after year, time after time, wanting somebody to help him to get into that water that he could be healed. But a day come, a time when the master come, and he was able to heal him, and he didn't have to get into the pool and get wet. He could go home dry, healed, and able to conduct life perhaps as a normal person. So that was a wonderful difference that he made. Also, he made a wonderful difference in the man they called Legion. He was a man that was controlled by the enemy of his soul, to the point they couldn't keep, he didn't wear clothing, and he lived in the graveyard. And he was in a terrible, terrible state of affairs. But Jesus, oh, he came, and perhaps the people must have been near to a city because there was a graveyard, and people perhaps warned their children, don't go over near that man. He's not to be trusted. We don't know what he would do, but stay away from him. And whatever took place in that poor man's life, Jesus was able to deliver him, and he was able to be freed from those spirits. And they were so strong that they killed a bunch of hogs. And he was free, though. And he was clothed, had clothes on, and sitting and in his right mind. Jesus made the difference. And, oh, the good news that I have today, that Jesus still wants to make a difference in people's lives in this 21st century. And he is doing it. And there are people that have been getting saved. And all the wonderful miracle of Brother Leslie's son, how God got a hold of him. And I was able to attend the graveside funeral of Brother Leslie. They did have a funeral at Monarch, but it was kind of a funeral like at the grave. And his son was there, not saved, but he was touched very deeply. And as he sat there, he wept. And I don't know what all was going through Philip's mind, but it was after that that God, Jesus, saved his soul, made a difference out of him, and he has been a blessing. I was at Monarch a year ago, and he got up and sang a special. I don't know a word he said, but it sure was an encouragement to me to have him up there singing. And he has made a real difference in Philip Busby's life. Oh, and that was one of his missions that he was sent forth was to forgive sins. I have a saying here, reading here about something that relates to Jesus changing life, if I can find it. And it is entitled, The Touch of the Master's Hand. It is something that's impressed me. The touch of the Master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks? He cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two, $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the back room, far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as caroling's angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, What am I bidding for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, We do not quite understand what changed is worth. Still came the reply, The touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going, and he's almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never quite understands the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. And so the mission Jesus had into the world to make a change, a difference in people's lives, has changed many. John Newton was a man that was mean. He was a captain of a slave driving ship, on a ship, and he was just mean and cruel. He had a filthy mouth. But Jesus come into that wicked man's heart and made such a change that he was able to preach the gospel, and he wrote, I think, one of the most famous songs of our time in the spiritual realm, Amazing Grace. Sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And from a personal testimony, Jesus has made a change in my life, made a difference in me. And the good news is that he is just the same today. I believe the brother